This episode of Pharmacy to Dose, the Critical Care Podcast, is proudly sponsored by Chiesi. Chiesi is a family-owned, research-focused, sustainable pharmaceutical company accredited with both B Corp and a benefit corporation status. Chiesi is making global changes that benefits patients, providers, and healthcare organizations with forward-looking and impactful initiatives. Chiesi appreciates the integral role that clinical pharmacists play in patient care and are proud to support this community. To learn more, visit chiesi.pharmacytodose.com. Again, that's chiesi.pharmacytodose.com. Dose.com. The Critical Care PRN is dedicated to fostering the role of critical care pharmacists as essential members of the multidisciplinary patient care team. The Critical Care PRN's goal is to optimize drug therapy outcomes by promoting excellence and innovation in clinical pharmacy practice, research, and education. For more information, including how to become a member, go to critprn.accp.com. Again, that website is critprn.accp.com. Welcome to Pharmacy to Dose, the Critical Care Podcast, a partner of the ACCP Critical Care PRN. And I'm your host, Nick Peters. And wherever you are and however you are listening, thank you. And it's the best time of the year, March Madness, which means the time has arrived for the release of the 2024 Critical Care Trials March Madness Bracket, letting you, the listener, ultimately decide what is the most influential, important, and best trial in critical care. Now, there are two preview episodes, right? So this episode, part two, will preview the sepsis, fluids, and cardiac pulmonary regions. And the other episode, part one, previews the bleeding, blood glucose, and neuropathic region. So be sure to listen to both. Both are must listens to get you prepared to fill out your bracket. Now, a few housekeeping notes before today's episode gets started. Have to start by thanking the committee and the committee members for all their help with not only which trials were worthy of inclusion, but what order they should be ranked in. So let's give them a shout out, shall we? In our cardiac pulm region, our committee included Amy Zerba, Kate Kulig, Steve Lemieux, Brian Murray, Nick Servati, Zach Smith, and Kat Spisano. And for the sepsis fluid regions region, huge thanks to Melissa Thompson-Baston, Seth Bauer, Michael B. Hall, Carolyn McGee-Bell, Anthony Hawkins, Rob McLaren, Haley Peters, Gretchen Sasha, Susan Smith, for all their committee efforts. Now, each bracketologist had one rule they had to follow. They were mandated to have one upset, meaning a 9 seed or lower, making it to the Sweet 16. So you'll see that in their bracket predictions. When you're filling out your bracket, do you need to have one? Nope. But the bracketologist wanted to make it a little bit interesting. We couldn't have all chalk going through. Now, the bracketologists, right, they're just predicting what they think will happen. But if you go to @pharmacy2dose on Twitter, X, or Instagram, you get to vote to determine who actually advances. Let's talk about some key dates from a voting perspective. So if you're listening to this episode on the day it was released, right, it's Monday, March 18th. Monday and Tuesday the 19th, you're voting on the play-in game. So each region has one game, four play-in games for the whole bracket. And then round one voting starts Wednesday. And from then on, each day you'll get 3 days of votes. So Wednesday, March 20th through Friday, March 22nd is round one. Round two is Saturday the 23rd through Monday the 25th. You get Tuesday off. Tuesday's a rest day, right? Just as the tournament, you go from one weekend to another. We get Tuesday off. And then voting for the Sweet 16 around three resumes on Wednesday the 27th through Friday, March 29th. Our Elite Eight voting around four is Saturday the 30th through Monday, April 1st. Our final four votes are Wednesday, April 3rd through Friday, April 5th. And then the national championship game vote pick the winner of the bracket itself for the best critical care trial. You vote Saturday, April 6th through Monday, April 8th. So we'll end on that same day the actual national championships being played. Last thing here. I got some shirts for the bracketologists as a thank you, to them for their work. But I also ordered a few extra for the friends of the pod. So Do you, the listeners, want the easiest road possible to try to get one of these? You don't have to have planning meetings and have a bracket discussion for all these things. All you need to do, you have to fill out a bracket by the time the first round voting takes place. So that's going to be, remember, Wednesday, March 20th. So if you do it before then, before the voting goes live, and I'm going by timestamps, take a picture or a screenshot once you have your champion, the whole bracket filled out, and tag me on social media, at Pharmacy2Dose. Once you do that, you're automatically entered. I'll draw three winners out of a hat. It'll be random. I'll probably post the video so people don't think there's any collusion, and you'll get a Bracketology t-shirt. So you have to tag me by the time the first round voting is started. You can't be influenced, right? That's what you got to have your brackets filled out before the first round game starts. Same concept here. So brackets are available at the social media pages at Pharmacy to Dose or on the website pharmacytodose.com. So be sure to download those, print them off for the office. Everybody, I think this is going to be an absolute blast. But it is now time for part two of our 2024 Critical Care Trials March Madness Bracket Preview. And this is our cardiac, pulm, and sepsis fluids region. So let's get it started.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And today we are previewing the left side of the bracket. That is correct. The South and Midwest regions, aka sepsis and fluids and cardiac and pulm, respectively. And let's meet our amazing bracketologists for our two regions getting highlighted on today's episode. And reviewing the cardiac pulm region, we have Jolie Gallagher. Jolie is a cardiothoracic surgery and critical care clinical pharmacy specialist at Emory University Hospital, former co-resident of mine. She's supporting the Colorado State Rams as her college basketball team. Maybe the only college out of all of our support areas that might actually make it. So shout out to Jolie, the bracketologist for our cardiac and pulm region. And discussing the sepsis and fluid region, we are joined by Clay Small. Clay is the medical ICU clinical pharmacy specialist at Indiana University Hospital and my former PIC partner in crime on the overnight pharmacy team, a proud Hoosier fan, as you can hear from the IU fight song playing behind us. Now, reminder as we go through the bracket today, right? The bracketologists here, Jolie and Clay, they're going to go through the bracket and discuss why, who they think should or who will win this bracket and ultimately go to the final four. But you, the listener, have the ultimate final say. So at Pharmacy to Dose on Twitter and Instagram to vote who you think deserves to advance to the 2024 Critical Care Trials March Madness bracket. And you can download a bracket from the social media sites or the website pharmacy2dose.com. Okay, Jolie, Clay, welcome. Is there any better season than March Madness, by the way?
I'm a first timer at March Madness, so it's been actually really exciting to learn more about it and get into it and support a team that's actually going to be in the tournament.
Yeah, I'm still going through some chest pain about my Hoosiers here. I am. It's been a tough year, but this is like Christmas for me this time of year. So I'm super excited to combine two things I'm passionate about and getting to breaking down some brackets, actually correcting some of the Joe Lunardi mistakes here.
All right, now let's get into it. The left side of the bracket, and we're going to start with our cardiac pulm region, aka the Midwest region. Now, this region features our second-ranked one seed, the ARDS-NET study. Now, we have six trials that had unanimous voting from the committee, and there were five at-large bids. But let's get right into it. So, as we mentioned, the second-ranked one seed in the bracket, ARDS-NET, goes up against the feisty 16 seed, the Aeolia Trial. Now, in the fluid battle matchup in the 8-9 seed, you have the 8th-ranked Dose Trial versus the 9th-ranked Fact Study. And in a barn burner of a 5-12 matchup, we have the 5-seed Cape Cod versus the 12-seed the Hakka TTM Trial. And we're staying with the cooling versus steroid theme for our 4 versus 13 matchup, the 4 being the LASRS or late steroids in ARDS study versus the feisty 13 seed, the TTM trial. Now, the 6 versus 11 actually features our play-in for this region, and the play-in game are two very worthy teams fighting for one spot, and that's the 11 seed, the Alive Trial, versus the 11 seed, the Alps Trial, right? Two things looking at the same thing, going for the same spot. So the winner of that will be our 11 seed against the number 6 seed, the TTM2 Trial. Now, in our 3 versus 14 matchup, it's an alliteration extraordinaire with the 3 seed recovery versus the 14 seed reduce. Now, 7-10 is an incredible matchup in the bottom of the region where we have Dexa Ards as our 7 seed versus the, in my opinion, lowly ranked Do-Re-Mi, the 10 seed. And rounding out our bracket, the 2nd seed Proceva playing the 15 seeded Inception Trial. And that is our Cardiac and Palm region, the 17 seeds vying for that final 4 spot. All right, so before we even break down the matchups, Joel, you know what we have to do. We got to get into this region itself. What do you think of these teams? Any snubs, any notable things from that perspective?
Yeah, so I think for me, probably the biggest snub was the Midori steroid trial. I think it's a little disappointing that we don't see that trial in here because I think it kind of sets the tone for steroids and ARDS. So I'm kind of sad that that one wasn't included here. And I think from that perspective, the trial that I don't think really belongs here is the Inception trial. It, you know, like, what were they thinking with this trial? They're resuscitating patients in the field, transporting them to an ECMO center, and then cannulating them? Like, I don't, you know, I think it's a novel idea. I think it's interesting to think about ECPR in the field, but I really don't think that this trial did a very good job, did a lot of justice. I actually wasn't very familiar with this trial whenever I first started this project, and so I did a lot of digging into it. And I read it. One thing I will take away from it is I did read a number of notes to the editor, and my biggest takeaway is, like, people are not ready to give up on ECPR, but I definitely don't think it deserves a place here in this field. And so for that, I think that one was kind of undeserving. And I think it, you know, Midori steroid trial, I would have liked to have seen in here. But overall, I think include this zone includes a lot of really important trials, trials that are impactful to the field of CV and PULM. And so aside from the Inception trial, I definitely like the makeup.
I couldn't agree more. It feels like a criminal offense to be talking about steroids and ARDS and not have one Midori study. Like, and so, you know, some of the earliest evidence arguing for early use. I get you're not going to do the late one. We have the LASRS study that's going to disprove it. Okay, I agree with that. There's no issue with that. But the Midori study looking at early, that's tough for me. And the one that I think, I'm kind of talking to someone who, I don't know, the idea of a study looking at ECPR I think is cool. To me, we got to choose between TTM or TTM2. These are two trials doing the same thing. Like, what did TTM2 do or confirm that TTM did not? And on the surface, I don't think a whole lot. So my idea, you got to choose one of those, and I need to bring in the Midori early steroid study. So, Julie, we are absolutely on the same page there. Now, from a ranking perspective, right, the 1 through 16, is there any that you think are under or overseeded, or how do you think the committee did setting these rankings?
Yeah, you know, I think overall, my actual rank list was fairly similar. I do think that the number one underrated trial for me was the FACT trial. I think in general, I love the idea of deresuscitation in ARDS. I think it paves the way for us to know that that's safe and probably gets patients off the ventilator faster and gets them feeling better faster. So I think that the FACT trial being number nine, I think, makes it underrated. I think the overrated trial in my mind is the Cape Cod trial. I have a couple of thoughts about the Cape Cod trial, and I will say that I did listen to your recent podcast, and maybe I'm not as harsh against it as I was previously. But I think, my biggest issues with the Cape Cod trial is, even though it was large, it was only done in France. So I think that makes it difficult to generalize the results to a more diverse setting, which is where I work, is in a very diverse patient population. I think, the definition of severe CAP is a moving target. They try to capture it in this study, but I think, we need a more formalized definition of severe CAP. And the mortality in the placebo group was very low at only like 12%, and they had predicted 27. So I just think that when we're translating the results of the Cape Cod trial to the patient population that we want to use steroids with severe CAP, I think that you kind of have to look at the nuances, and I think that people are going to miss that part of it. So I think it's overrated. I would like to see it a little bit further down.
My hot take, and we'll get to my thoughts on the Cape Cod trial. We'll agree to disagree. I think that's a diaper dandy of this region. Do re mi to me, biggest discrepancy in my vote versus the others. I kind of have do re mi as like a top six study. We'll get into it. I think underrated. I wish y'all could see Julie's face because she clearly, our expert bracketologist, disagrees with the host's take. Now, let's talk a little bit about the region itself. Let's break it down, right? So we have six cardiac arrest related studies, three TTMs, three others, six ARDS related studies, four just general management strategies, two looking at the use of steroids, three pulmonary studies, and two cardiovascular critical care studies. 15 of the 17 articles were published in New England Journal of Medicine. So this, and well, we'll get into the other one that also is tied. We got one in JAMA, and then, man, shout out our colleagues at the Lancet Respiratory Medicine, who also have one least variety out of all the regions in terms of journals included. Only three represented here. Now, when we're looking at a timeline perspective, in the 2000s, we got five of these trials published. In the 2010s, we have six. In 2020 to present, we also have six. So the oldest, the 2000 New England Journal of Medicine ARDS-NET low tidal volume study. The year with the most publications, 2013. That's also the average year that these were done. Most evenly spread out from a timeline perspective. So compared to all those other regions, we have a really flow from 2000 to now. And also, quote unquote, the most modern region with six studies in the 2020s. So we're going to see if that recency bias comes into some of our bracketology picks. All right. So let's start with our play-in game. And Julie, we got the 11 seed, the ALIVE trial, also versus the same 11 seed, the ALPS trial, vying to get into that field of 64. So who do you have advancing?
Yeah, so I thought this was a fun pairing because they were very similar studies. I don't really have a lot to, say about the trials other than here we go again with some more out-of-hospital cardiac arrest studies, trying to find an impact. For me, I think the ALPS trial winning is a no-brainer. It was larger and essentially reversed the findings of the ALIVE trial. So the ALIVE trial found improved survival to hospital discharge with the use of amiodarone versus lidocaine. ALPS found no difference in survival between amiodarone and placebo. And so I think the ALPS trial provides a little bit more of the basis for using either agent, which is really what's happening real world practice. So I think the ALPS trial wins between the two.
Yeah, great matchup for us. Bad matchup for the ALIVE trial. Feels like ALPS rolled. Not even like by halftime, we've turned the channel. It's not even close. So let's get into our first round matchups here. And in the field of 64, Jolie, what are instantly what's the matchup that stands out to you that you want to chat about the most?
Probably the dose versus the SAC trial, the 8 and 9 ranked seeds. So I think it's an interesting matchup. I think you kind of already hit on the point that it's two studies looking at fluid management strategies in two different populations, right? So the dose trials in the heart failure patients, SAC trials in ARDS. I think on this, face value, they're both kind of a little vanilla trials, because neither study found any difference in the primary outcome. And they're both kind of have like complex protocols and kind of complex groupings of the patients. But I think that the SAC trial is going to be the winner here. Again, I love a good ARDS resuscitation situation. And so the SAC trial kind of paves the way for that and conservative fluid management in ARDS patients. I think the DOSE trial showed us, it's safe to use high dose diuretics. And, using high dose diuretics in patients who come in with acute decompensated state of heart failure may have faster resolution of symptoms. So I think from the perspective, it was helpful addition to the literature, but for me, the FACTS trial wins because I'm partial to ARDS and fluids.
Yeah, well, the dose trial was supposed to answer a question to diuretic dosing, right? And I don't think it really did, but the FACT trial started this trend, right? It did fluid stewardship before it was popular. To me, when I think about it, I feel like the dose trial is the team that for three quarters plays incredibly. For 30 minutes, they're awesome. And the last 10 minutes, they just let you down, right? And that's what I kind of felt like. More definitive evidence for the FACT trial. So I agree. I have the upset. Well, I don't know if it's that much of an upset pick, but I agree. I also have the 9 FACT seed advancing here. All right, what's your kind of second matchup that stood out as ooh, I like this one.
Probably my upset. So the number 3 recovery versus 14 reduced trial. So
Whoa.
I actually have reduced. It's and it's probably a little bit more personal than anything. I think it's probably might be a little bit of an unpopular take on this, but I have a little PTSD from this recovery time. So I was essentially the COVID pharmacist for the entire hospital, or for critical care patients at my institution. And I honestly don't ever want to think about that time in my life again, in which the recovery trials came out. I know it was impactful. I know it showed improved mortality in COVID patients. And I know it was like an amazing advancement of science and knowledge during that time. But for me, I don't want to see it anymore. So it's got to lose. It's reduce has got to move up on that.
This feels like the recovery trial shattered your team's hopes in the final four, and you're like, I am never gonna pick this team again. I mean, I don't, it's the battle of the steroids. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't know how, I don't think Reduce belongs on the floor with recovery, in my opinion. It is, are you kidding me? As our first COVID treatment, it's the only thing we had. As much as we may dislike it, and I get it, right? I dislike COVID too. I don't think we can underestimate how groundbreaking this study was. So to me, I actually think it's a bad matchup. I'll be very curious. I would say this may be our strongest disagree, but you are the expert, our bracketologist. So I'll be curious who actually pulls it out. But I couldn't disagree. I couldn't disagree more. Now let's get into something where I feel like we might also disagree, and that's the 5-12 matchup, which is the 5 seed, the Cape Cod, versus the 12 seed, the Hakka TTM trial. And you said already you thought the Cape Cod trial was overrated. So what do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, I actually, even though I feel like Cape Cod is overrated, I did pick them to win this matchup. I do want to say I find this matchup a little ironic because let's think about the time in which the Hakka trial came out, right? It was groundbreaking. It impacted the course of post-resuscitative cooling care for the next 2 decades. And then here we are having reversed all that we found from the Hakka trial, and we're back to basic fever prevention and patients post-COVID. So in my mind, I see a little bit of maybe this happening with the Cape Cod trial, where it's this, single country, and it's this groundbreaking results and this amazing mortality benefit. And oh man, everybody's going to start using steroids in severe CAP. And then, we may spend the next 2 decades undoing that and saying steroids are actually not that helpful in patients with severe CAP. That being said, I do think that the Cape Cod trial still beats Hakka in this particular matchup.
Yeah, I think Cape Cod is the number one freshman recruit in the country. And they're going to come in, and he is absolutely going to show out. I mean, it's just a bad matchup for Hakka, because I agree. Talk about influence. Like, it really did change everything, but I feel like we know too much. If we didn't have all those other studies, it'd probably be a top 4, top 2 seed. I think it's close. I think Cape Cod wins on like a last second 3, and we're gonna see that in the one shining moment. So I think Cape Cod goes around, but I think it's gonna be closer than a lot of people think. Now, let's kind of quickly talk about 2 things that I think are not closer than people think. The 1 versus 16 feels Ardsnet versus Eolia. I mean, I think we got it details. The 16 seeds are last line treatment. The 1 seed is literally our standard of care for ventilators. I think it's boom. It's going to start off 20-4 run, and then we're not going to look back. And then the other 2 versus 15 seed, Julie, you mentioned that you thought the Inception trial did not belong. And I think this matchup against Perceiva will also show that, because I mean, again, ECPR studies are hard. I get it. But like, what's also hard is proning patients and showing a 50% reduction in mortality. So Prosiva by a mile there for sure. Now, let's get into what was one of your big matchups and one where we disagree, because actually I have a different, and that's the 4 versus 13 seed of the late steroids in ARDS, the LASRS versus the TTM trial. So do you feel like this is a close matchup? Do you feel like these are evenly ranked teams, or is this going to be a blowout?
So for me, it was a blowout. So in my particular, practice, I think steroids and late ARDS study is the more impactful trial that I use more frequently. So, I am in an ECMO unit, and I'm often seeing patients who are late ARDS. You know, maybe the team didn't call us until later on in the patient's course to come cannulate, and we've decided to cannulate. And so I'm frequently having to pull this one out and remind my providers about the risks of appropriate steroid or the risks of late steroid administration in patients with ARDS. And so for me, I think that that's a blowout. I think the TTM1 trial was, it was very well designed, especially considering what the previous trials look like. They put a lot of thought into the designing of the study, and I think it was helpful in kind of setting us up for where we're at now, which is fever prevention. But, to me, I think because we have the TTM1 being followed up by the TTM2, and now it's really just about fever prevention, I think that it loses to the late steroids and ARDS trial.
So I want to ask you a question, and this will help kind of guide you where I'm going. So the steroid regimen that they use, do we have any agreement on our steroid regimens or the things that we should be doing for ARDS?
Currently, there's a variety of different steroids that we use. Yes, sure.
Another question for the bracketologist. What's our goal temperature management, and what was our best evidence for that? And you know what? Rhetorical question. TTM trial, 2013, New England Journal of Medicine, changed the game. I think TTM is criminally underrated in this perspective. I think it's a team that snuck in. It was an at-large bid. It snuck in for sure, but I think it gets a huge upset here. I think it comes in and takes it. So we shall see. That's my temperature management study, because that leads me into my next upset. I have Alps beating TTM2. TTM2 is the team. They're the team that was awesome in November and December. They won a holiday tournament, and they have not been the same team, not even close. The Alps trial showed us that we can use either of those, and actually drugs don't matter. It's high quality CPR, shocking, and those types of things that actually matter. Like TTM2 confirmed what we already knew. This literally debunked the ALIVE trial that showed like this huge reduction in improvement in outcomes with amiodarone. So I have an upset here, and I know you have the opposite. I know you have the 6C TTM2 going on.
It's true. I guess we're just gonna have to agree to disagree. You make very good points. And I like the points that you're making, but I still stick behind. I think that where we're at now with cooling patients is we're just doing fever prevention. I think you're right. Drugs don't matter in resuscitation. So why do we even need the ELPS trial to tell us that? And definitely steroids all the way.
This is this first round's unbelievable in this cardiac pulm region, because the 7-10 matchup, I feel like this is also going to be a hot take for me. The 7-seed Dexa ARDS versus the 10-seed Do-Re-Mi. I have Do-Re-Mi going. The battle of the inotropes, baby. Vasoactives versus steroids. I'm taking vasoactives, 10 out of 10. Yes, it's single center, but it's the best inotropic evidence we had. Again, I'm going to come back to how many crazy steroid regimens do we have? Tons. We don't know the answer to that. We're still, Do-Re-Mi, I'm telling you, comes in. I think they went on a last minute, last second three, Bryce Drew, Valparaiso. But I think Do-Re-Mi comes out on top. And based on our discussions alone, I know you probably think Dexa ARDS wins in a landslide.
So I do have some issues. I know I just said steroids all the way, but I do have some issues with, I agree with you, like some of the steroid studies in ARDS. I don't love this trial, but I do think it beats out the Do-Re-Mi trial because, my biggest beef with the Do-Re-Mi trial is pick a freaking outcome. It was a composite outcome of like six different things. I think it was just a little too messy. They were looking for a little too many things. The study was too small. I get it. It's the first trial that we really have looking at different inotropes. But for me, it just leaves us with inconclusive results. So we still need to pull out a lot more from the Doremi, which is why I think Dexay already has one.
I'm getting some other thoughts because I'll let the listeners know. Doremi does not lose in the next round for me. But let's get into our second round matchups, into our round of 32. Julie, we got 8 teams, 4 matchups. Instantly, the study that stands out that I want to talk about first is the battle of the steroids. Cape Cod, steroids and pneumonia, LASRS, steroids in late ARDS. So who, basically you have the blue blood, you have UNC going up against, you know, Memphis and Derrick Rose with the amazing freshmen. So who do you think wins this matchup?
So for me, I think my beef with Cape Cod still stands. I am still very hesitant to trust the results from this trial. And I would like some additional follow-up, some, you know, larger multi-country trials, a little bit more diverse patient population before I fully trust the results that steroids are good in severe CAP. I think the thing with the later steroids in ARDS is that the study is much smaller, but it is one of a kind in that it was the first one to really, and really the only one to kind of look at starting steroids in people with later ARDS, so patients with greater than 7 days of symptoms. Again, you know, their primary outcome was mortality. They found no difference. However, I think that the important takeaway from that trial was the increased mortality in people whose steroids were started greater than 14 days from onset. And for me, that's a really important finding. And I think it really kind of sets up our future trials, which are looking at steroids earlier on and initiating them earlier and seeing if that's, you know, where the benefit lies with steroids. I think it kind of closes the door on late steroids. And so for me, again, in my practice, it is much more useful. And I think it's a very important study that is going to beat out Cape Cod.
Yeah, I'm in the trust but verify stage with Cape Cod. We have pretty decent evidence with the FYI, I have TTM winning this battle in mind. But I also agree. I think Cape Cod had a worthy. I think whoever wins the 4-13 matchup is gonna come out on top here. Now, what other second round matchup stands out in your bracket?
Yeah, so for me, it's the TTM2 and the reduced trial. So I have, again, reduced as being kind of my upset early on. I think it's interesting that studies are just completely different. It's steroids and COPD versus cooling patients without a hospital cardiac arrest. To me, I feel like reduced kind of sets the course for what we do for COPD treatment today, right? Like everybody knows you just do steroids for 5 days. You don't do a longer course. And I think that the reduced trial is important because of that finding and kind of the standard it has set. If I'm being honest, I think both trials are a little bland, but again, it's impressive to me how the reduced trial has impacted our current practice. And I think maybe freeing people from steroids faster, usually something I love to see. So I'm going to stick with the reduced trial here.
I think the reduced trial's hardest matchup was the first round. Like, they beat recovery. They come in. TTM2 is going to feel like a walk in the park. Like, we've already talked about, like, the beefs with that. This did change practice. Now, if we're playing the other side, one was reduce a non-inferiority study, right? The other one's like a mortality study in cardiac arrest. But either way, I also have, I'm fine with TTM losing. I have no issue with that. Now, what about the ARDS-NET? The battle of the ARDS-NET trials, which is one, the low tidal volume versus conservative fluids. Because I know the fact has your heart. What has your head?
Yeah, the fact has my heart, but I think you cannot deny the impact of the ARDS-NET trial. I know, I think you said it's the number two seed overall, but in my mind, it's one of the most impactful trials in critical care medicine to this day. And subsequent findings from the trial and studies after the trial have not reversed or negated the findings from it over time. 24 years after publication of the trial, we are still using a target of low tidal volumes as our best practice. So I love the FACT trial. I love resuscitation, but there's just, you know, ARDS-NET is kind of the Kentucky or the University of Kansas in my mind. So it's going to win.
Yeah. It's a close first half. The ARDS-NET tidal volume, I think, pulls away at the end. I mean, the low tidal volume is the crown jewel. It's just like a gold standard. So I completely agree. And then rounding out your first round matchup, you have DEXA ARDS versus Proceva, right? So a little prone positioning versus steroids. So who do you have advancing in this battle?
Yeah, so again, it's another Ards matchup that I love to see. To me, Dexa Ards, I think I already mentioned, it's kind of like the similar in my mind to the Cape Cod trial where I want to trust but verify. My biggest beef with the Dexa Ards trial is that it was unblinded and the primary outcome was time to extubation. And I just don't, you know, that's a, you, whoever's deciding to extubate and knowing that they're on steroids, you know, that's a big bias in my mind. And it, again, it was similar to Cape Cod. It was a single country. It was done in Spain. So, you know, I think there are some similar issues with the Prosiva trial, which actually, you know, as I was kind of digging into, like, you know, which trial would I pick over the other, I thought it was kind of interesting because Prosiva has some similar issues with regards to blinding, of course, location just being mostly in France when one center was in Spain. And, you know, I think that the trials were, or the location where the trials was done was centers that were really used to proning, and there's been a lot of question marks of, you know, the safety of proning. However, so I, you know, I think similarly, they both have kind of the same limitations. But when you think about which study is currently more impactful, I think Prosiva is going to win.
All right, so let's recap who your Sweet 16 teams are. So you have the number one ARDSnet, LASRS, Reduce, and Prosiva. All right, we'll do a little comparison to mine. We're similar. We got ARDSnet going number one, and then everything is different from there. I got the 13 seed TTM. I got the recovery trial. And then I told you, Doremi, the most controversial pick, telling you this 10 seed Cinderella. Everyone said Butler couldn't go to back-to-back Final Fours in 2011. That's the Doremi trial. Okay, so let's go back to your bracket here, Jolie. So the matchup that I am by far most excited to talk about feels like this is the matchup of the region. ARDSnet versus LASRS. Two absolutely established standards of care. You have to do this. You cannot do this. So, who wins in the battle of crazy offense versus crazy defense?
Yeah, this is very difficult for me to pick this one. But you know, ultimately for me, I think it was picking the late steroids and ARDS. So I think picking a study that shows a negative outcome can be just as useful to practice. And oftentimes, you know, my role on my team is figuring out how we can do things, how we can utilize medications in the safest manner. And so I think for me, this negative outcome trial is actually probably going to win out, or I think it's actually going to beat out the ARDSnet trial. I also think it's really interesting that I think the authors really wanted to find a positive outcome, but they still decided to publish something that was a negative outcome. And we don't see a lot of those oftentimes. And so to me, I think the late steroids and ARDS is going to beat ARDSnet.
It's close. Man, is this close. I have ARDSnet advancing. I feel like they're a wagon. But if LASRS, right, if they're able to slow down the offense and turn it into their game, I can absolutely see the upset. So the real question, we got through weekend one. Does your Cinderella pick the 14 seed reduced trial? Are we continuing this amazing run, or are we proning their celebration with the Prosiva trial?
Unfortunately, this is the end of the road for Reduce the Cinderella Dreams. I think it had a good impact. I had a good run. It had has good impact on COPD care. But to me, the more important trial is the Prosiva trial. Even though there are some limitations and issues that I mentioned in the previous round, Prosiva is going to be reduced.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Non-inferiority. Didn't reach superiority. They simply reduced our steroid use. Prosiva had, you know, most patients were severe ARDS. They cut mortality in half. I agree. It feels like Prosiva, you know, there's one blowout in the region of the Sweet 16, and this feels like a 30-point wallop for the Prosiva trial. Now, just for those keeping track at home, I actually have the recovery go into the Elite Eight matchup here, and I want to explain why here because, and I don't think necessarily it's even about the COVID perspective. I think what's so cool and what I want to highlight is the adaptive trial design, right? The recovery trial, it enrolled and tested multiple treatments in early COVID while everyone, you know, everyone who was in it knows it was just pure chaos, right? Incredibly fast turnaround time. I don't think that can get underrated. So my matchup is the one seed Ardsnet versus the three seed Recovery. And Jolie's Elite Eight battle is the four seed LASRS versus the two seed Perceiva. All right, Jolie, steroids versus proning, ARDS battle. Who do you have winning and going to the final four?
Yeah, so I was honestly surprised at my pick whenever I got down to these two trials being the ones that were head-to-head. But when, again, you know, I feel like I've harped on this a lot, but when I think about what's most useful for me in my practice, I think the elite steroids and ARDS is the winner. I think that there are some of the issues that I previously pointed out with with Perceiva being done at centers that were used to proning. I think there are a lot of people who, you know, have a question mark of whether or not proning is safe when everybody is implementing it. And, you know, steroids are, everybody can implement steroids in kind of the similar function. So I think the late steroids and ARDS is the winner for me.
Yeah, a couple notes when we dive into this matchup here, because this is such a great battle. Perceiva, mean P to F for the patients, 100. LASRS, 120. I think Perceiva is applicable to mild and severe ARDS. This definitely answered when we should not use steroids. Again, I'm going to come back to the question, do we actually know the best patients and when to use steroids? Maybe, maybe not. But it definitely gave us definitive answers. I feel like it's a barn burner. Now, I got to talk about my matchup here just for a second, because mine truly feels like Duke-UNC. Blue blood matchup, Ardsnet versus Recovery. Recovery's Duke. No one likes COVID. No one likes to think about COVID or recovery. It's a wagon of a trial, but no one likes it, right? That's what it is. Ardsnet's UNC. Everyone knows UNC basketball, right? And despite only having 850 patients enrolled in that ARDS low tidal volume study, they reduce mortality. You can barely fit the secondary outcomes on a presentation slide. That's how many they reduced and got better. And it's a subjective vote, right? If we can vote against a COVID-19 study, we're going to do it. So I got Ardsnet advancing to the final four. Jolie has the LASRS trial. Okay. Clay, come on in. You heard the analysis from the cardiac pulm region. What do you think of the predictions?
I loved it. I thought this region has a lot of parity in it and has some really, really fun matchups. I had Perceiva kind of going pretty far, and Ardsnet was my Elite Eight matchup. I mean, when you're talking about putting together a region, when you have two heavy hitters on the 1 and 2 line, I mean, you pretty have much a chalk region for me. Like, everybody else was kind of secondary for me. I was like, yeah, we'll go through all the other matchups. I already know who my Elite Eight matchup is going to be. But I think the points that were talked about for, like, recovery and reduce, and I had late steroids and ARDS moving pretty far too, but I had the diaper dandy in Cape Cod pulling off the upset, you know, at the buzzer beater and everything. Mine was kind of similar. I feel like I had the Ardsnet coming out of that one, just because when I think of landmark ICU trials, the first one I think of. So that's kind of what swayed me, but I thought the analysis overall, I couldn't agree more with most of what everybody was saying.
This episode of Pharmacy to Dose is proudly sponsored by Chiesi. Providing innovative pharmacologic therapies for over 85 years, Chiesi is committed to supporting the clinical pharmacist community and the patients you serve. To learn more, visit chiesi.pharmacytodose.com. All right, Clay, now let's stick around here, because now ending the episode is, of course, our South region, sepsis and fluids. And this region features the tournament one seed. That is correct. The number one seed in the bracket. I don't think this is surprising to very many people. Rivers Early Gold Directed Therapy. It was voted the committee, the sepsis fluids region, had the most committee members, and it was also a unanimous number one pick across the board, which is pretty impressive because Ardsnet didn't even get that, for example. So let's get into the bracket and see how the committee did. So, of course, the overall one seed Rivers versus, now we got a play-in matchup here of our two 16 seeds, and it's the 16 Trist trial versus the Prowess Shock trial as the play-in game. Now, this 8-9 matchup, man, the committee crushed these with these 8-9 matchups in all the regions, because this one's unbelievable too. Modern management comparison of sepsis, the 8 seed Clovers trial versus the 9 seed Arise Process Promise. Let's take a quick pause. You're probably like, You just said arise, process, and promise. So those are all the same. They're different, but they're the same. And some people made the argument to use the PRISM patient-level meta-analyses of these trials. But as a mini rule, when we created the bracket and the regions, there were no reviews or any of those types of allowable things. So this was our way of kind of moving around that. Okay, we addressed it. Arise, process, promise is one team. All right, back to the bracket. So our 5-12 matchup is a steroid throwdown with our 5 seed, the Anon steroid trial, versus the 12 seed Adrenal. Now we move from steroids to vasoactives in our next matchup because it's the 4 seed, the VAST trial, taking on one of our diaper dandies of the tournament, the 13 seed, the Athos 3 trial. Now the 6 seed SMART trial takes on the up and coming and I think underrated 11 seed Corticus trial. And in our battle of the 3 versus 14, it's an albumin love fest with the 3 seed Safe taking on the 14 seed Albios. And we close out our 7-10 matchup is the Kumar duration of hypotension study taking on lactate clearance, the JAMA article. And as we round out a sneaky great 2 versus 15 matchup of SOAP 2, the 2 seed, taking on the 15 seed renal dose dopamine, the 2000 Lancet article. All right, so Clay, first things first, what are your thoughts on the teams itself? Who was snubbed? What are your thoughts on who made it to the South Sepsis Fluids region?
So I love this region. I love what the committee did with this region. I don't have a lot of qualms. All the people complaining on the outside, letting them in, saying, oh, we have a good enough resume to get in the tournament. It's like, we've got enough fluids trials. We've got enough steroid trials. Like, we can't take everybody in from these power conferences. It's kind of how I'm feeling most of the snubs. One thing I thought it would have been interesting to include in would have been the Midas trial. I think mixing in some midodrine, mixing in a little bit of variety here, an oral vasopressor to go up against some IV ones would have been interesting. But really, I think the committee kind of nailed it. I think overall, if you're looking at teams' overall play throughout the season, I think you kind of have it matched up pretty well here. I think Rivers being the overall number one seed gives me kind of some inklings of 3 different teams from history here. I've got, you know, I think Virginia, UCLA, and Gonzaga are some teams I'm going to talk about with their trajectory here. I mean, when you're thinking of in early goal-directed therapy, you're almost thinking of John Wooden's pyramid of success.
Yep.
Like, you're thinking of things, the way to build, to kind of getting patients better and everything like that is what we were kind of originally thinking. And I think they also have some issues, like Mick Cronin's Bruins for this year and everything. So I'll talk a little bit more about Virginia and Wichita State here moving forward. But I think, you know, I think Rivers is overall deserving to be a one seed, but they've got some warts. They've got some issues here that I think they could get upset potentially in this region. In terms of snubs and first four out, I don't think anybody has a really great argument here. I think for the most part, the committee included the teams that need to be included.
Yeah, the one trial I could make the argument with would be the HIPRIS study, which was looking at steroids to prevent your progression to septic shock if you had severe sepsis. But as the committee members smartly point out, severe sepsis isn't a thing anymore, so why would we have a study looking at that? So that actually makes sense. I agree with what the committee did with fluids, plenty of fluids. I don't think we need any more. The Crystal, the PLUS trial, fine leaving those out. Now, as we kind of get into, there were 5 trials that had unanimous votes. Every committee member voted to include. So that is the Rivers trial, of course, the Safe trial, the Smart trial, SOAP 2, and the VAST trial, with 5 tiebreaker or at-large bids. So what does that mean? So an at-large bid was a trial that probably should have been included that I forgot on the initial list. So our 2 at-large bids were the renal dose dopamine trial and 8 people emailed me the second one, the Kumar critical care medicine study, looking at the influence on the duration of hypotension before antibiotic administration. So big miss on my part. And then the 3 tiebreakers. And what a tiebreaker means is when you did the votes, you averaged them out. And if there were ties, what we did is I took my votes out. And then I saw what the full committee members did. And the at-large bids were Albios, Tris, and the use of lactate clearance. So, Clay, you kind of talked about the one seed, the Rivers trial. What are your thoughts on other rankings in the region? Anyone you think is either over or underrated?
So one team that kind of stuck out to me was the VAST trial. The way I viewed Vast is it's got a lot of name recognition, kind of sticks out, and has a real star player like that Oklahoma team that had Trae Young. I mean, they've got this name recognition, they've got this player that everybody's talked about the entire season, but when it came down to brass tacks, we didn't really see a mortality benefit. It may just be a catecholamine sparing agent more than anything else. And so I think VAST is one of those studies that, when you originally think of, when you're thinking of your vasopressors, is probably one of the first ones you rattle off to any kind of learners. But when you're looking at it in the study, I mean, it had reduced catecholamine requirements, which is great and everything, but it took a subgroup analysis to find even some of those benefits. So that's kind of one of the things I thought was maybe a little overrated, maybe relied too much on a star player to get it to where the seed it was. And the committee rewarded them to trying to get some viewership.
Yeah, they forgot that this isn't Oklahoma with Blake Griffin, right? They're misremembering what it is. I completely agree. I have fraud watch big time on the fast trial. I also have upset alert on the smart trial as the sixth seed. Fluids aren't that fun, so I'm wondering how the I wonder how these teams are going to match up. Smart's kind of cruising in. They've had all these positive headlines. They're reading all the things. It's the one best study. I'm just saying, headlines only help you so far. Couple maybe Cinderella stories too, right? Arise, process, and promise is right there. Now I think the Corticus trial is also a little bit of a sleeper.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Arise, process, and promise, as you can see in my bracket a little bit, reminds me a little bit of 2013 Wichita State. You've got Ron Baker, Fred VanVleet, and a whole other bunch of the cast making a big three almost that make you super formidable for the rest of the region here. And you want to talk about upset alert? I mean, they go perfect in conference play essentially, and they get put with a 9 seed.
Yeah.
It's like the committee was almost like watching the games, it felt like.
Yeah, they're the this team was fired up when they found out they went into the gym, started lifting. They were so mad when they found out what seeded they were. I completely agree. Now let's kind of break down the region a little bit. All right, so we had six septic shock themed articles, five vasopressor themed articles, three steroids and septic shock articles, and three IV fluid studies. So we mentioned the cardiac pulm region had 15 articles from the New England Journal of Medicine. That's exactly what the sepsis fluid study did as well with 15. Now they had two in JAMA, one in Lancet, and we got to shout out one of our favorites, Critical Care Medicine, the only region that has an article from that journal. Now from a time frame perspective, when were a lot of these studied? So in the 2000s, seven trials, in the 2010s, 11 trials, and 2020 to present, just one trial. So the oldest study, that 2000 Lancet renal dose dopamine trial, and the year with the most publications was 2014. So let's get into these awesome matchups here, and let's start with the play-in game, our two 16 seeds, Tris versus Prowess Shock. And I can't lie, when we look at all the different kind of play and matchups, this feels like a blowout to me.
I couldn't agree more. I think this is going to be one of those games that's at noon on a Thursday that you just are score watching from an app. You don't even turn this game on for the most part. Prowess Shock just kind of comes out and is underrated by everybody here and really shows that maybe they should have not been in the play-in. That's kind of my thoughts here.
Completely agree. Yeah, I completely agree. So now we get into the first round, the matchup of 64. So, Clay, when you look at your first round, our matchups here, instantly, what are some of them that stands out to you? What's your one that you're like, oh man, I'm recording this, I can't miss it. If I'm at work, I'm gonna hide away to try to watch this game.
There are several in here, but probably two stick out to me the most. I already hinted at it a little bit with some name recognition, but Vast versus Athos 3.
Yep.
You want to talk about a diaper dandy. That is Athos 3, I feel like, especially with this being a voting. I think this is the most recent in people's minds. I think you're talking about a trial that kind of opens the door potentially to something completely new in our tool belt. I mean, I think that's one where Vast, I feel like neither of these are really showing mortality benefit, right? But you have an agent here that gives you something to use when, it's all hitting the fan, essentially. And so I think Athos 3 is one of those studies that I just feel like can catch a team off guard here with the one star player. And you got a guy who's on a team that maybe wasn't as, known about for a while in here, and then all of a sudden they show up in a tournament. I'm thinking of a Ja Morant, maybe. Ja Morant showing up and upsetting Marquette in this kind of region here. I think a Ja Morant flash here coming onto the stage is something that Vash should be very worried about, and something that I think almost is already penciled in as an Athos 3 win for here for me.
Yeah, like you were saying, it's a top-tier team when you look at name recognition, but when you dive into that schedule and who they actually played, it was fraud watch left and right. I agree. I think last-minute free throws paved the way. I think it's closer than you may be implying, but I think Vast is, I think they lose. I think they're probably the most overrated top 16 seed in the whole bracket.
Oh no, I agree too. I think it's a really upset alert, and I think a game that's going to go, another one that's going to go down to the wire here, I think is going to be a real heavyweight fight, is that 5-12 matchup. A non-steroids and adrenal. You want to talk about a steroid fight? Everybody grab your popcorn. I think this one's going to be one of those ones that's going to go back and forth, depending on what your preference is and really what you think of these trials. I mean, I think you have some of the things in adrenal supporting some of the things that were mentioned in Anand. I mean, Anand's coach over here is claiming that their players are saving lives and everything. Whereas, adrenal is on the other hand saying that, hey, we're not saving lives over here. We're just a solid basketball team that reduces the things in the ICU we're worried about. So that's kind of how I'm viewing this matchup. I think it's going to be super, super close. I have Anand edging him out just barely
Barely.
here, just because of you got the name recognition, you've got a study that was one of the first, right? And I think you have that sneaky mortality benefit that Approx came in and kind of helped support that big early non-conference win coming in big here with the seeding, maybe giving them a little bit of bump to move into the second round.
Yeah, to me, I hate that adrenal did a continuous infusion. I'll never forget, I'm not going to name drop who it was, but I was a resident, and someone when I was on call insisted on doing a 24-hour continuous infusion of 200 milligrams of hydrocortisone. So I will forever hate that regimen. Now that I say that, actually, this is a 2018 study, so they're probably referencing another study, but I still hate that regimen, for the record. But the 2002 Anand study, right, practice changing, influencing, it literally set the whole stage for our steroids and sepsis discussion, right? I agree. Close, incredible. Adrenal, what a tough matchup. But if they would have won more in-conference games, they wouldn't be the 12 seed. They did that to themselves. So I agree. We're the same there. Now, my upset that I want to get into is our 6 versus 11 seed. And I feel like this could maybe be a controversial take, right? Because we know I'm team balanced fluids, and that's the 6 seed smart trials all about, right? But I'm also team corticosteroids and septic shock, right? Both pros for this matchup. And I think the big thing with the SMART trial, right, the Vanderbilt research team, Joanna Stallings, et cetera, but they found a reduction in that primary outcome against abnormal saline, but it hasn't been replicated by any other studies. They won their big game once, and in all these other matchups trying to replicate it, it hasn't happened, despite us understanding the pathophysiology that it should. And the findings from the Cortica study, right, that's one of the things we do know with steroids and sepsis. It reduces the time that you're in shock and require vasopressors. It's been replicated. That is one consistent. Mortality is not. This is. So I think Cortis has come through with the upset because they are a tried and true consistent team, and that's going to help them pull it out in the second half here.
Yeah, I went back and forth on this one a lot, depending on what it seemed like the day almost for me. I mean, I think you have two really kind of strong trials, I think, where Forticus is like that team that came on really strong in the second half of the season and all of a sudden is now underseeded playing a team that was solid as a mid-major almost. You're right, like the 15% septic shock and kind of the patients included in the SMART trial kind of make you wonder how tough an in-conference season schedule they had. And so I went back and forth, but I just, smart with how many patients were in that study. I know it
Yeah.
hasn't been replicable, but there have been some ED trials that have found similar kind of results, like that SALT ED trial found kind of similar results versus balanced and unbalanced crystalloids. I think there's something there with SMART. I think they happened onto something, and I think that they have the possibility to kind of move far into this tournament based off of how big they are. I mean, you want to talk about getting rebounds. They're getting a rebound every single time.
That's accurate. That is accurate. Again, close. I completely agree. All right, let's cruise through two matchups. I think they're going to be easy wins that everyone's going to predict. Rivers versus Prowess Shock. Early gold directed therapy versus activated protein C. I think Rivers rolls here. Don't even think it's close.
Not even turning this bad boy on. This is the one that penciled in the very first second I opened up the bracket. Didn't even look at who they were playing.
Now, the other one, the 3 versus 14, it's the Albumin battle, and it's the 3 seed, the Safe Study, versus the 14 seed, Albios. And this is Big Brother, Little Brother. And unfortunately, Big Brother's going to win this battle. Like, the, you know, Albios is tough. Safe is literally, like, the definitive study on albumin and use in the critically ill population. I think it's a blowout win, too.
I think so, too. I think Safe is just one of those studies that I don't feel like Albios wants any part of. They can bring in their whole entire three pass offense here. And I don't even think Jimmy Chitwood from Hoosiers is going to be able to take this team away from Safe and everything. I mean, when you look at Safe just in general, I mean, you have such a large study that was well renowned in multiple different countries. I feel like it's just not even going to be much of a matchup at all.
Now we got three trials left. I kind of want to chat about them in my order of excitement. So the 7-10 matchup here, I think, is one of those where if you're not up in your literature, you might not understand how awesome of a battle this is. This is our two mid-majors going at it. And the Kumar duration of hypotension, the 7 seed, versus using lactate clearance as a surrogate in sepsis, the JAMA study, our 10 seed. And to me, the Kumar study contains literally one of the most famous graphs in all of critical care. And as practice changing as the lactate clearance study is, right, we all literally use those to track now and things. Man, the Kumar study was practice changing as well and affected us as pharmacists in terms of time to antibiotics in our sepsis patients. So even though there are certainly limitations of that Kumar study, I think that their strengths are completely to the weaknesses of the other lactate study. And I think the Kumar trial, the 7 seed, goes on.
I do too. I think Kumar is one of these studies that I think lacks the name brand recognition as some other teams in this region, but it was just criminally underseeded, and just kind of drew a part of the bracket that's going to be tough for them to really try and gain speed enough and momentum to try and move all the way through. But I mean, when you're thinking of studies that kind of help build what our current practice is, I mean, this is where our sepsis bundle is getting built out from. Our timed antibiotics and using appropriate coverage. I mean, this is just one of those matchups that I think lactate clearance kind of drew a bad draw to. I think it could definitely advance if it would have face maybe some of our other trials that have some more name recognition, because its results are more impactful than some of our other trials maybe in this region. But this Kumar study, I feel like it's just like my dark horse. It's one of those teams that can get hot if it gets the right momentum here and could really cause some havoc in this region.
I think we'll know who is voting and participating a lot based on this study, because I actually think our EM colleagues probably hate this study and the time and the insistence on that. So I'll be very curious. It feels like if you're pro ICU, you're going to be voting Kumar, and if you're pro EM, you might be voting lactate clearance. But maybe I'm wrong, but that's my kind of guess there. Now we both have the Kumar study going on. They're going to play the winner of what I think is an incredible 215 matchup. And as much of a wagon as the SOAP 2 trial is, our number 2 seed, I think they're on upset alert with our lowly ranked 15 seed, renal dose dopamine. Now, I think on the surface, it does feel like a blowout victory, but renal dose dopamine is the team where their star recruit, their star player, has been out for 4 months, and he came back for the last 2 weeks of conference play. And I think they are coming in because dopamine has upset potential. It was a highly debated topic at the time. I do have SOAP trial advancing in our battle of the dopamines, but I think it's way closer than people may think.
I think there may be a chance, but I just think SOAP 2 is just too much for them. You're looking at a repeat conference champion, SOAP 2. I mean, back-to-back here. You're looking at a team, really, that you have name recognition. I mean, again, first vasopressor trial you probably think of when you're thinking of sepsis and septic shock. And really, this is the team that's steady. Doesn't give you many arrhythmias watching them at all or anything like that. And so, It's almost like this was a meant to be matchup between Soap 2 and Reno Dose Dopamine. It's almost like the committee was almost playing, pulling some strings here to get people, locked in on this matchup, you want to say. I think that there's a chance, right? I mean, welcome to the madness of March Madness here. This 15 team can pull out the biggest shock, I think, of my region here. It would be even more surprising to play in beating Rivers for me. I think Soap 2 is just too much of a wagon, too stable, too practice changing potentially to really get too much of a scare. This may be a game you watch in the second half because it's so close. You look at the score at halftime and you're like, oh, wait, what? What's happening right now? And everything, and all of a sudden you see this dramatic second half where you're just having a big league boxing match back and forth. It's very possible, but I still like Soap 2 to kind of comfortably advance, maybe double a digit win here.
Soap 2 kind of feels like modern day Purdue or like a few years ago Virginia, where they could lose your first game or you could win it all and you would, and nothing would surprise you. And that's kind of what I feel. I have Soap 2 winning and going decently far. I think it's going to be close. Again, I think we're going to get some recency bias. So I bet it, I think it's going to be one of those where the score is closer than it may appear. And we're going to leave it at that. Now, the last battle, talk about name recognition, modern management of sepsis. We have the Clovers trial against, right, our modern early goal-directed therapies, the ARISE process and PROMISE. So two studies challenging the norm, challenging our early goal-directed therapy premise. Clay, who do you have advancing here?
I have ARISE process and PROMISE advancing. I think it's an angry team who is mad about their seeding, right? And I just think that when you're looking at the combination of the three trials, you're looking at something. I mean, the name of the region is sepsis and fluids, right? I mean, I think fluid trials combining three that are going to be so impactful to currently what we do in the ICU is something that's going to be really difficult for Clovers to overcome potentially. Now, don't get me wrong. Clovers is a very strong study too. And either team is going to give Rivers a difficult matchup in the second round. I just think when you're looking at the three different studies and when you're comparing trials potentially that when you think of Rivers and sepsis, it's one of the first trials you think of. And this really challenged that norm and was looking at, okay, do we need to do this specific goal-directed therapy to impact our outcomes and our patients? And so I think the combination of the three, if you would have taken one-on-one, right, if Clovers doesn't have to play all three of these teams, I think Clovers stands a better chance. But I just think when you're looking at the combined results for me, I just think that you got to give them the nod here.
Yeah, the trio is all we talked about forever. If you were practicing in a medical ICU, you probably were sick of hearing about the ARISE process and PROMISE trial. That was like the content for like three straight conferences between critical care and pharmacy. So, and as much as we anticipated and looked at the release of Clover's trial, it felt like one of those where we talked about them a lot. They were a preseason favorite. We've been waiting for it and waiting for it. And then they were in the conference championship and they kind of blew it. And they didn't blow it. There was just really no difference. Once the trial came out, we kind of been done talking about it, to be honest.
Yeah, they tripped over that last barrier, right? They had all the momentum, and then, it's just one little pulled hamstring here or something where you just aren't at your best on the wrong day. And you just kind of were waiting for the results from the study, like, oh man, this is going to change what we do, so especially in the ICU now they've already been resuscitated, or how do we manage these patients? And you're right. It was just kind of one of those where it was almost anticlimactic. You got a team here who has all this preseason hype, right? And comes out here and maybe performs like a this year Memphis or something like that, who's going to be an 8 seed. Just kind of, a team that you thought was going to be this team with just, crazy talent, going to come out and just set the world on fire and a great conference, and they just tripped up against teams that they should have beat.
Yeah, you think about it, right? It's done by the Pedal Network, right? And that's kind of like Memphis having Penny Hardaway as their coach, right? You see that trial and you're like, oh man, this is great. We have all the same teams advancing to our round of 32, except one where I have the Corticus trial and you have the Smart trial in our 6-11 matchup. But here is where it starts to get very different. So, Clay, when you look at the round of 32, which second round matchup excites you the most?
Has to be Rivers versus ARISE, Process and PROMISE. Like, this matchup is the matchup of type. This is going to be UCF Duke, Zion versus Taco Fall. This is going to be Wichita State Gonzaga. That's where my Gonzaga reference comes in here, because I think Arise, Process, and Promise is just too much here. I think you have a little bit of recency potentially playing into people's minds and everything with what's going on in the ICU right now. And just because of how much it challenged what the norm was, right? We were not looking at CVPs and we're not getting our SpCO2s as frequently. Maybe we should, but we're getting all the instrumentation in our patients, right? But I think it's just a matchup here where this is the one where I just kind of like, I think is the most fun to play with here, because Rivers is the study, right? This is the study coming into the season. You're looking at Virginia, the number one overall seed, escapes a play-in game, and then now they got to play Arise, Process, and Promise. Like, man, that's a tough second round matchup, and not much of a gift to the number one overall seed here. I mean, you're going up against another study who has more patients combined and everything, with more potentially internal validity, and ways to kind of counteract everything that Rivers does. Like, there's not, it's not going to be, Rivers going to be able to overwhelm them with their style of play. They play the exact same way, and it's just going to be see who can do it better. So I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, this is an in-conference matchup. Two teams that know each other in and out, right? There's no film they haven't watched. And I agree. I think the question's going to be how much recency bias comes in. Has Rivers been reading their headlines? Because I think if you're just doing battle, influence, those things alone, Rivers wins. But I think the recency bias, or, you know, them really wanting it, I think they could pull the upset. I'm just saying, I got Rivers by double digits here. I do.
I'm not saying that's not possible either. I think, you know, the big thing about filling out a bracket here is being smarter than the rest of the population. I've been thinking about the underlying factors here. Maybe, you know, this is my big upset in my region.
So, from a matchup perspective, to me, the other one that I kind of want to get into is another big upset for me, and that is the 5-13 matchup here, which is the Anand Steroid trial versus the Athos 3 trial. So, my mindset, right? I feel like this is they're a Big East team. There's only going to be one team that makes it to the Sweet 16 when we're thinking of steroids and sepsis. And spoiler alert, I do not think the Anand and steroids trial is it. Athos 3, think about all the downstream effects that have come from that. The coaching tree, the player tree, they're getting all these recruits with these post-hoc analyses, new data coming out. I think people are using them more and more. And so I think it's close, but it's one of those where Athos 3, they shot 60% from three, and there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, this is a scary matchup if you're looking at it for especially. The big thing for me here is, you know, this is the contrast in styles. This is an NIL built team with Athos 3. How much money can I put into this team to see how far it's going to carry me, versus a tried and true built through recruiting. So it's an interesting matchup here for me. I went mortality versus no mortality benefit, right? That's kind of what I was deciding between the two. I think the recency part of it and the downstream effect are great, great things to point out. But when I'm thinking of, you know, which things are going to potentially improve outcomes for my patients, I think when you're looking at a steroid versus this new kid on the block, I don't know. I just feel like, which one would I want? Which one do I feel better sleeping at night picking and everything? I think, you know, Athos 3 can have their lightning quick entire thing, their race to 75 points, right? That's what they're trying to get to first. And you know, I just think Anand's going to be able to control the tempo here and have all the big prize kids, everything like that, just wear out as they're all trying to just can't share the ball.
The Anand trial was in 2002. So are they going to be able to put their force on him, or is the 2017 Athos 3 trial, are they going to be able to pace and space? And that's the question. So we'll see. Bloody matchup. I'm very excited for it. I can't wait. Can't wait. So speaking of great matchups here, let's get into the fluid battle that you've set up for in the second round, which is, are we going to be safe or smart, which is the comparison of colloids versus crystalloids. So who do you have winning this battle?
This one I was back and forth a bunch. I think this is going to be another great matchup. This region, you have to watch. I feel like anything could happen going back and forth. You know, I ultimately went with smart because I thought that when you're looking at, we talked about all the things previous before about, you know, the patient population, repeatability, all of those things. I just kind of went with what I currently do in my practice. So this is going to be my recency bias in my practice, right? But even before going through pharmacy school for me, we knew that we didn't give albumin. And so it's one of those things where I feel like I've known this. Like, safe just seems like too safe of a pick for me and everything. Like, I've just known this. I've just known this for too long. Whereas I have this study that changed something that I potentially did, which is with the SMART trial, which is why, you know, I went back and forth trying to think of what the audience is going to do. And I just think, I don't know. I just feel like the SMART trial is something that everybody can kind of point to as a point in practice where you thought, oh, this is when this happened and everything. I just didn't have that connection with the SAFE trial.
We will say this is going to have the highest attendance ever for a game. These two trials have over 22,000 patients enrolled in them, so that's pretty impressive. Feels like a home game for the colloid trial, the SAFE trial, but I agree. Smart hit their free throws at the end to advance, but it was close. I agree in this kind of battle, but I'm just telling you, in my matchup, I got the Corticus trial beating the SAFE trial, so both of us have the 3 seed SAFE not advancing to the third round in the Sweet 16. So close us out, the 2-7 seed, SOAP 2 versus the Kumar Duration of Hypotension. You hinted at it. What a bad draw for our 7 seed here.
Brutal, brutal. You want to talk about, hey, you made it past the first mid-major in that round, and now you draw the team that could have been a 1 seed that just got gifted with a 2 seed in a crazy region here. Tough, tough draw for Kumar. This one, with all the fibers in my being, want to pick the Kumar hypotension trial, pulling off a of Michigan State versus Marquette last year. But SOAP 2 has a healthy Tyler Colic this year, has a healthy Tyler Colic, and I think they push through to the next round. I think when you're just thinking of studies that are just going to be tough to bring down, I think SOAP 2 is one of those studies. I think it's just one of those studies that everyone has an association with in the ICU realm. And I think if Kumar carries the day in the first round, maybe they gain some momentum here. But man, they have a big road stop in their way here that they're going to have to push through somehow.
I agree. Tough matchup. SOAP 2, this whole tournament's at home for them. I agree. This feels like the whole crowd's behind them. Everyone loves norepinephrine from the SOAP 2 trial. So I agree. And I don't think it's really close, unfortunately, for our colleagues from Critical Care Medicine, the Kumar study. All right. So to wrap up for the listeners, third round. So Clay's Sweet 16 teams, the early goal-directed therapy trio, Arise, Process, Promise, the Anon and Steroids trial, the SMART trial, and SOAP 2. I have the Rivers Early Goal Directed Therapy, Athos 3, Corticus, and SOAP 2. So, in your third round Sweet 16 matchup here, which one of these stands out as your favorite?
So I think I have one lopsided matchup, if that is the matchup, and I think I have one that's going to be a dogfight.
What's the lopsided one? What's the lopsided
I
one
think the
first?
lopsided one's going to be Smart and SOAP too.
Yeah. Yep.
I think if Smart makes it through those first two rounds, it's going to have two close calls and run out of steam. You can only use so much luck to get through the first two rounds, and I think you're going to go up against a team that has just been there, done that. Too much, but I think the Arise Process Promise versus a non-study is going to put two different thought processes or two different ultimately like divided down the middle arena fans against each other. It's going to be pretty much trying to sway anyone just to get that one person over the line to potentially win this matchup. I think, you know, this is going to be one of those classic slug back and forth rounds. You're going to have a San Diego State buzzer beater against Creighton last year. I think what happens here, I think you have the momentum of Arise, Process, and Promise beating Rivers in the previous round, and they're able to eke out a non here, I think is what I envision happening. I just think that it's going to be super, super close. I think this is an overtime buzzer beater, is how close I think this is going to be.
Yeah, I agree. Arise, Process, Promise, they want it more. They're younger, they're hungrier. Like the Anon trial, right? They come in, they're kind of reading their own headlines as they went through the weekend, right into the week. They're not prepared that, oh, we got these guys. Are you kidding me? They need three of them. We're going to be fine. And I agree. Smart. Sorry. Cinderella story ends, right? Soap 2 squeezes the life out of him on the defensive end, and it is an absolute blowout. Now, I want to quickly talk about my matchups here because I agree, actually. I have one lopsided, I feel like, a blowout, and the other that's going to be incredible of a matchup. And I got the Rivers trial versus Athos 3. Athos 3 had a good run. Got on our sports radio shows on the Tuesday and Wednesday after last weekend, but I think Rivers rolls. Don't think it's even close, to be honest with you. But then my other Sweet 16 matchup is the Corticus trial versus Soap 2. And if we talk about legendary, noteworthy trials in septic shock management, those two have name recognition. Like, this feels like a Duke-Kentucky. We're not in the regional final here, but it feels like that kind of matchup where we're going to get a last-minute toss, and I have Soap 2 winning. So I got Rivers versus Soap 2 in my Elite Eight, whereas you have Soap 2 versus the early gold-directed therapy trio.
Yeah, I think that's how that would play out too. I think you know, that Corticus versus Soap 2 game, man, you want to talk about two powerhouse programs and everything with people with real emotional ties to. That one's going to be tough. That one's going to be tough. I think the Athos 3 trial is going to be one that's a kind of a super streaky team or a team that doesn't have it. And so they're going to use up luck potentially in the first couple of rounds. And then you're going to go up against the teams that are solid, right? Teams that have things to counteract your star player and everything that maybe can just shut them down. So I couldn't agree more. I just think Soap 2 is a tough team to really knock off anywhere in this region.
And that kind of leads us into the Elite Eight matchup, our fourth round. So Clay, who do you have going into your Final Four winning this Elite Eight matchup?
Shocker, shocker, I have Soap 2.
Yep, we both do.
Soap 2 is that team that, you know, deserve to have a one seed probably if they're in a different region with a team that doesn't have blue blood status as well. And is just a team that you really have to have overwhelming results in your favor, I feel like, to override what other people think of this trial, right? I mean, you're looking at multiple different guidelines. You're looking about practice changing. You're talking about a drug that we use pretty much every single day in the ICU. And the first things you probably teach people about who come through your unit is based off of the results of this study. And so I just think no matter who comes from the top end of the bracket, Soap 2 is just going to be a tough team to knock out in general.
Yeah, I also have norepinephrine winning, and it honestly feels, or the Soap 2 trial winning, and it feels like because norepinephrine's a star player, he's going to put the team on his back. He's going to be one of the tournament MVPs, and I just think that even in my matchup, Soap 2 versus Rivers trial, I actually think, even though it's 1-2, I think Soap 2 wins by double digits, and I think norepinephrine drops a 40-burger on him and has 10-8, so I just think it's going to be a blowout, and I agree, Soap 2 is my Final Four team. I'm going to be very, very surprised if this is the pick I'm most confident in out of all four of mine. Every listener's hearing that, and they're like, I'm instantly going to pick against that just to make sure. So we'll see. Now, Jolie, what are you? You're kind of listening here. Hop on in the Sepsis Fluids analysis team here and let us know what you thought. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, just like my take on the trials that are included, I think there's a lot of classic studies. I agree with Clay. There's a ton of fluid studies, but I actually would have liked to have seen another balanced crystalloid versus normal saline study. Like, I probably would have liked to include the basics, because to the point of the SMART trial is that it is one of the only ones of many that has shown any differences in outcomes. So I think it would have been interesting to see it kind of match up to something more like the basics trial and, you know, kind of see how those two duke it out. In terms of trials that might be missing, you know, I thought maybe one of the vitamin C studies could have been interesting just to mix it up, because we have a lot of
fluid stuff. They were vetoed. The committee did not want a single vitamin C trial reference, so they were outlawed. That's what happens when you cheat and you get all that funding in the NIL era. They were banned. They're banned from the tournament for at least 2 years.
So similar to you guys, I agree. I think the Rise Process Promise, they went pretty far. They went to my Elite Eight. Different than y'all, though, I actually have Kumar winning the overall region. I agree. I think it got a really tough hand in who it was up against in the beginning. But the SOAP 2 trial just doesn't do it for me because, really we're basing all of our information of why we use norepinephrine off of a secondary outcome. And I think Kumar really sets up the basis, as Clay stated, for how we manage sepsis. I do think, Nick, your point about maybe a division in the listeners might really decide how far Kumar goes. But for me, I think it's one of the most important studies in sepsis care. We know that early antibiotics save lives. And so for me, that's why I chose that one as the winner.
Two incredible bracketologists, two incredible region analyses. So listeners, remember, you are going to ultimately decide. So at Pharmacy 2 Dose. Now, I wish I could give you a social media tag for either of these two, but they are too cool for social media. Both Jolie and Clay do not have any. So I'm sure you could reach out to me if you need to get in touch with them. Let them know what an awesome job they did. And remember, voting the brackets, you could go to pharmacytodose.com. They'll also be pinned on the social medias and things. So you will vote. You will determine who wins. And then reminder, all the bracketologists are getting back together once the final four teams are decided to talk about how everything is played out and who ultimately wins from the final four based on their expert predictions. So Clay, Jolie, not only are you two like some of the best friends, you're awesome, but so glad that you were able to come on the pod, join us, and mix in two of our favorites, talking about which trials are the best, power rankings, and including college basketball, right? We're putting all of them in one. So thanks for being some 2024 March Madness bracketologists.
Thanks for having us, Nick. It's been really enjoyable. It's been a fun experience.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. Thank you for letting me live my dream to be on the March Madness show. Fully appreciate it.
Another huge, huge thanks to both Jolie Gallagher and Clay Small, two of the best. This was absolutely so much fun. Reach out to me. Like they said, they don't have social media, but let me know at Pharmacy to Dose. I'll, of course, reach out to them, put you in contact with them as need be. So reminder, fill out those brackets, tag at Pharmacy to Dose with a filled out one if you want to get a bracketology tee. Listen to part one, all the voting. This is going to be an absolute blast. I hope this makes March Madness a little bit more fun for you. I know it definitely did the same for all of us involved. So pharmacy2dose.com. You want to send me an email, pharmacy2dose@gmail.com. Remember, at pharmacy2dose, Twitter, X, Instagram. That's where we're going to be voting on this bracket. But until next time, I'm Nick Peters, and this is Pharmacy to Dose, the Critical Care Podcast. The Critical Care PRN optimizes drug therapy outcomes by promoting excellence and innovation in clinical pharmacy practice, research, and education. For more information, go to critprn.accp.com. Again, that is critprn.accp.com. The podcast provides general information only and does not offer individualized medical or professional healthcare services, including pharmaceutical advice. The contents and materials in the podcast are not intended to be a substitute for inpatient pharmaceutical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Use of the contents and materials on the podcast does not constitute a pharmacist-patient relationship. As a result, the information in and materials linked to this podcast are applied at the user or patient's own risk. Users and patients should consult their physician or personal healthcare professional. The user or patient should not ignore or delay seeking care because of something they heard on this podcast. In case of an emergency, the user or patient should contact their physician, call 911, or go to the nearest medical emergency facility. The views and statements expressed on this podcast are those of the host and guests and should not be interpreted to reflect the official position or policy of ACP or the Critical Care PRN. ACP and the Critical Care PRN disclaim any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or any other damages, including without limitation, loss of profits arising out of any use of reference to, reliance on, or inability to use the podcast, its contents, and materials.